You are listening to Right Back Atcha, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously, hosted by the Mask for Mask singer David Lim and myself, the Lost Pop Stars The Rivals finalist, Joel Babington. Hello, David. How are you?
I'm good, JB. Good to see you. Oh, these references kill me every single time. Mask for Mask singer.
the new show for gay Twitter, you know?
Love it. Absolutely.
Just when you thought the Mask singer couldn't get any gayer. Guys, I know you want Girls Aloud, and we've said we will get there, but today we are going to jump into the legendary, gorgeous, talented Nicola Roberts. But before we get into that, David, can you read us a lovely 5-star review?
Absolutely. So this one is, there's no name attached to this particular review.
Untitled.
There is a username, but it's too long to read out. The subject heading really gets me though, JB. When will I be famous? That's a very good question we've all been asking ourselves. I'm leaving a 5-star review to get featured in the next episode. Jokes, eyeballs, emoji. I love this podcast. I found it during lockdown version 1. I love it. There's a version 1, version 2.
Deluxe edition.
Yeah, re-release, anniversary reissue. God, let's hope not.
Let's hope not.
Okay, I found it during lockdown version 1 and have listened and binged all episodes since. The latest on 18s was such an insight and nostalgic visit that I felt I was listening to my soulmates. I love the background info you didn't know they share and snippets of the songs. To quote Amelia Lilly, you bring me joy. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you, mysterious caller number one fan. So if you are enjoying what we're doing, please do leave us a lovely 5-star review and follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms.
Do you think we'll get a follow-up, like 5-star review from this person? Go, thanks for reading out. Can you read mine again?
My name is...
and I want a proper shout out, yeah. And this is my Instagram handle. Plug, plug, plug.
Could do. Let's wait and see.
So it's really amazing that we so happen to be recording right now. On this week, 10 years ago, was when Nicola released her first solo single, Beat of My Drum. So it kind of feels like a real... this is meant to happen right now. Mm. I've been a huge fan of her Cinderella's Eyes album since it came out. Like the whole campaign from the very beginning, from the very start of the teaser images in the announcement, all the way through to today. Like I've been obsessed with this. So I'm really, really glad that we get to do this now, 10 years on from this iconic project.
I mean, we're going to really get into it, David, but I think... it sounds as fresh now as it did then. And I'm actually really just getting to know it now. So it feels kind of newer for me.
Oh, I love this. Because this is actually part of why we love doing our episodes the way we do. Because I think there are some episodes where you're very immersed in it the first time around. And I get to come on board when we do the episode, aka Steps. And then there's this one that's maybe I've like chronicled every moment of it in 2011. And now you get to come on board 10 years after. So I'm... stoked that this is happening this way. But you know what? Speaking of 2011, we really like re-listening to this album has made me think, bloody hell, that was a very, very big year for albums for me. You know, I don't even think, you know, no shade to the current artists or whatever is going on in the pop climate. Maybe we're just fatigued by all the kind of constant new music that's happening. Mm. But I feel like I'm unable to take on albums as much in the recent years. I look back at 2011, I don't know about you, Joel, but like I had a pop music blog at that time and I could do a roundup at the end of the year of like 30 of my favorite albums.
I think we're lucky if there's 5, I think, for us now. And I think because we are such the way we consume content now, like this podcast, there's just so much of it. People are just releasing music as opposed to albums. And hopefully we're seeing a bit more of the experience now that vinyl is really resurging in the way. But it is kind of a lost form of that treat where you're waiting for that album, you consume it, and then you have it so much. Yeah, we have it with the big ones that we still love, but there's no, you know, oh my God, this album full beginning to end. So who were some of these standout albums for you in 2011 then?
So if I can pull up my old pop music blog, I will give you a rundown and I want to hear your reactions to this because it's actually quite crazy. Even just looking at the list again, I was like, I can tell when I ranked something a certain way because I was trying to appear more like a music critic.
Yes. And it's so funny. I think we were both in 2011. It was so much, especially at that time, I was personally, and I'm sure you were too, it was like really like making the conscious choice of people trying to take you seriously. So what you were putting out there, you know, we've now gone on the journey. I think everyone does in their early 20s anyway. You're like, you know, I'm serious, da 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 da. Now we're like, yeah, we're serious, but we co-host right back at you, and that is what we're serious about.
Exactly. No, we're serious about fun and enjoyment.
We're serious about fun, and we've, you know, self-defined as there's no such thing as a guilty pleasure here. But in 2011, we were probably both like, oh yeah, guilty
trying
pleasure.
Trying to kind of walk the line a little bit. Yeah. So anyway, number 10 of David Lim's albums of 2011, Kelly Rowland, Here I Am. Should have been higher.
Should have been higher. For you, for the Rolling Stoner, yes, you should have been. Triple platinum at number one on the David Lim charts.
Number 9, RuPaul Glamazon. Number 8, Britney Femme Fatale. Again, why was that not higher up?
Well, as you said, intense year. A lot of releases that year.
Very intense. Number 7, The Sound of Arrows, Voyage. I was clearly trying to impress some hipsters on WordPress.
Get that SEO range.
You know what? It's actually a really good album and it's worth re-listening to. I think The Sound of Arrows is very like Pop Justice artist. You know what I mean? Like Will Young, Little Boots, that Annie. If you're into that kind of stuff, it's a good album. Number 6, Our Queen, S.E.B., Make a Scene. Number 5, Winter Gordon, With the Music I Die. Anyone who knows me personally knows that I stan Dinah Gordon, as she is now known as. Maybe one day, JB, we can get into this because I have so much to share on this. And even Our Queen, Vitamin C, makes an appearance on this album.
Colleen,
yes. She has a songwriting credit.
Oh my God.
So now your interest is piqued, yes.
No, I was already very interested. And I know you've got quite a close relationship with that artist, haven't you? You know, you've interviewed them a fair few times, even very recently.
Yeah.
I can't believe our Colleen was getting credits in 2011.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Number 4, Will Young, Echoes. Still an amazing album. Number 3, Nicola Roberts, Cinderella's Eyes.
Oh. Top 3 album, Nicola, well done.
Number 2, Born This Way by Lady Gaga. Ah. I don't know about you, JB, but the past week I've really liked, because it's the 10-year anniversary in the past week, right? I've really gone back and listened to his body of work and still fresh, still insane.
I can't believe that we're talking about all of these albums from 10 years ago. They all still feel like recent releases, really. Like, it's one thing, and we do say this sometimes on this podcast anyway, it's one thing, like, we've accepted some of these songs are, like, 20 years old. But and we've come to terms with that, and it's from when we're growing up. But because we're already kind of an adult by the time these were released 10 years ago, it's like, surely it's 3 or 5 years ago, right? Not 10 years
ago. We can't be talking about a decade of Born This Way. Like, I can't cope with that.
No. And I mean, what a different landscape it was. I'm just doing a bit of chat here before we get to the illustrious number one, obviously, waiting in anticipation for the results to come in. But just to give everyone a bit of context, this was released 10 years ago. Nicola had just joined Twitter for the release of the album. People were talking about it. You were talking about it on your blog. News just in, Nicola Roberts has finally joined Twitter. If you look at the press for this campaign, a lot of it is about, so now you and Cheryl conversing on Twitter and you're talking about this, this and this. And it's, what was nice was that Nicola was getting a lot of positive feedback and a nice way in with the fans. But it's just a bit wild, really, that, like, Twitter was the new thing for people then and people were getting on board with it. Right, can we get to number one, please? I can't take it anymore.
It is Beyoncé 4.
B.
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 Yeah, Queen B. I had Queen to put B. that at number one because
you
obviously
put it at number one and Keller's at number 10.
I know, it's wrong. I would shake this list up again now if I could, but there you go. What a landscape it was in 2011.
2011 was a wild time. So 10 years on, would Nicola still be at number three? Where do you think you'd put Kelly?
I think Kelly needs to move up to the top five. All of the faves that I've pointed out need to be in a top five. So I might need to do like maybe a 3.5, a 4.5. So we can say all of them are in the top five.
Wow. Amazing.
Rearrange the metrics.
Yeah, exactly. There's a 10 here, but it's all just a top five.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. So, wow. And what a nice little way to rediscover, not little, I hate it when people say things are little. What a great way for us to rediscover your blog. Everyone, get out there.
No. It's not.
Link in the notes.
No, it's too cringe. It's too embarrassing. And this is the first time on our podcast that I think I've referenced my pop music blog. So it's absolutely hilarious and cringe reading back at some of the posts I did. But do you know what? That was a time where I really was trying to get into music journalism. And I'm glad, because in research for this episode, I got the receipts. 10 years ago, me did the research for today. Thank you, David Lim, in his 20s.
Thank you, baby David.
Yeah, literally. Shall we do a quick little career overview of Nicola Roberts?
Because Nicola, yes.
Honestly, if you're listening to Right Back At You, you already know this stuff, but maybe for some reason, Nicola is a new entity in your life. We don't want to presume.
No, and look, we might have tapped into the Mumsnet audience or something. Like, we've got that Masked Singer Nicola Roberts SEO. Hello, Mumsnet. So if none of you know,
yeah,
here's some Nicola overview.
Yeah, so Nicola entered Pop Stars The Rival in 2002 when she was just 16 years old. She ends up becoming the youngest member of Girls Aloud.
Never heard of them.
Obscure group. She was the second member selected by the public to join the group after Cheryl. Very interesting kind of reading back at some of the interviews that Nicola gave. Even 10 years ago when she was promoting this album, she was reminiscing on her Girls Aloud journey. You know, she said she felt the nerves before going on stage every week to perform. She said she used to go to the same toilet cubicle and just pray and just like try to center herself. She said, even though I was confident in my singing ability and I knew I had a stronger voice than most at the time, I still had a little bit of insecurity because I'd been told Louis, as in Louis Walsh, didn't want me. I was never in the bottom two, though, and the producers told me I always came in the top two or three in terms of votes each week, which was great. But it's interesting, isn't it? Like, it kind of shows how much pressure there is to put on a teenager's shoulders to enter a show like this, and you're suddenly having to deal with opinions of yourself from industry experts and people higher up that you're kind of like, whoa, it's a lot to take in.
It is. And there was something else somewhere. Apparently one of the senior producers told Nicola's mum that she wasn't going to make the band. And it's wild that she technically was always in the top two or three to then say to Nicola's mum, she's not going to make the band because it's more about personality than the voice. From the production side of things, you always have to be so professional. You'd never, when my field of work, you would never say that to a contributor or their family. So just wild. And look, it is the only time the public's ever made the right decision with this lineup. We know that.
True.
But yeah, so young. And especially when we look back at it now and what we're going to dive into in what's covered on this album. Awful time in the way that, yes, we build up and love this era of music so much. But what we never really tap into or talk about is that it was so okay in the media and culture to just really rip into people. And that is like, what gives any of us the right? Like, why would we do that? And it's someone that, A, we voted in. And this is what the horrible thing is of the media and probably some of the public. It's just we build these people up and then we tear them down. Such a young, vulnerable person to do that to, like, hats off to her, really. You know, she's doing amazing now. That could destroy you as a person, you know, could mess you up and there'd be no going back from it.
Yeah, she's incredibly resilient. And I think I'm glad that she decided to do this solo project and decided to give people an opportunity to get to hear her voice and hear her story, which, you know, for a Girls Aloud fan for so many years, I don't know about you, Joel, but when we started to get the solo singles and albums from the girls, I'm like, oh my God, this is what they sound like when they have to carry a song on their own. Because normally, Xenomania production, you get a line here, you get a line there. it's you don't really get the full spectrum of someone's vocal abilities. So thank God she decided to do this album.
Thank giddy God.
So speaking about, you know, the kind of pressures there, how she used to cope, I read in the early days was, in the early days of Girls Aloud, was that she would split her time between London, where she had to be for work, and then she would drive home to Cheshire and hang out with her mates when there was a bit of a gap in her schedule. You know, like just going down to the Chippy and then like drive back to London and you know, do CD UK the next day. You know, a real kind of Hannah Montana life, which I adore. I love that story.
The Nicola Roberts UK Hannah Montana biopic.
You know, there were many iconic moments for Nicola, even early in Girls Aloud. Matt Willis from Busted called her a rude ginger bitch. Again, why? But then she kind of spun it around and just claimed that moment by performing in a skirt. And at the back, she painted the words, "I am a rude ginger bitch. Bothered."
That was, yeah, an iconic time. I believe that performance was at GAY.
Do you remember which single that was? It kind of looks like maybe No Good Advice by the School.
Yeah, maybe because when they were so new, either that or like definitely early. So first or second album, but probably, yeah. And you know what? It matches it. They don't need No Good Advice from Busted.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, this was pre the days of clapping back on Twitter. You know, you had to like write your message on a skirt.
And perform it at GAY.
Exactly. I mean, that's the way to do it. Throughout Girls Aloud, we did get some solo moments from Nicola. And the 2004 second album, What Will the Neighbours Say, she had the solo, I Say a Prayer for You. Beautiful rainy day stuck at home kind of soundtrack. JB, it's one of my personal faves.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. Look forward to the day when we can really get into that in a future episode. Remember when you watch me sleeping? Ooh, and I'd pretend I didn't know. I gave you everything worth giving.
And then also in 2005, Chemistry album, she had a track called It's Magic. So it's lovely to see that, yeah, her and Nadine, I believe, were maybe only two in the group that got solo tracks.
Yeah, well, Sarah had Hear Me Out on the second album.
Maybe Cheryl had a B-side somewhere. Crazy Fool.
Crazy Fool, which is also quite a fan favourite, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, sure is. Needless to say, Girls Aloud went on to have 21 top 10 singles, including four number ones. Two of their five albums topped the charts. So Nicola did very good there. She's also been a very passionate supporter of anti-bullying campaigns and anti-tanning campaigns. Joel, if you remember Passions of Girls Aloud in 2008, she had a makeup range that she debuted.
How could we forget Dainty Doll? Very, very esteemed makeup range. They used to sell that in Harrods when I worked there.
I was going to ask you, have you seen Dainty Doll in the flesh? Because it didn't come to us in Australia.
I have, yes. Well, Amy used to work on the Dainty Doll counter at Harrods, so I'd pop and go and see her, and obviously to go and see my very dear friend, but also just so I could go and look at the Nicola.
Be closer to Nicola's products.
Is she in today?
Did she ever pop in?
I think she did, you know. I never had crossover with her, but I think Amy met her. I'll have to ask her after this, but I think she would come in and have a look.
Yeah, just checking, you know, how you guys are positioning my makeup.
Yeah, it wasn't just kind of like a cheap branded makeup deal. It was like the real deal.
Not everybody can get in Harrods.
Not everybody can get in Harrods.
So that is kind of the overview of Nicola Roberts before we dive into this iconic solo album era, JB.
And David, of course, judge of Styled to Rock, the fashion show with Nicola Roberts and Rihanna.
To say you've done a show with Rihanna...
Iconic duo of our hearts, you know. Where's that collab? They could do a fashion range, makeup and song all together.
It just, and all of that at Harrods.
Exclusive to Harrods, yeah. So, David, let's go to 10 years ago, June 2011. Our lovely Nicola Roberts releases her debut single, Beat of My Drum.
Dance to the beat of my drum, L-O-V-E, dance to the beat Jolie, I must say, looking back on my blog and seeing even what I covered at the time, it was so interesting. You mentioned Nicola joining Twitter at that time, and it was like literally big news. Oh my God, she's got an announcement coming. And this was the teaser campaign leading into this solo project. So we get Henry Holland, the fashion designer, posting a picture of Nicola's shoes with the caption like 4 days to go or something. And then Diplo posts something 3 days to go. And these are all just various images of this iconic bejeweled shoes that she's wearing.
Gorgeous.
Just different, you know, the shoes in different shots and stuff. So it's like already like, oh my God, fashionista queen Nicola is coming. 2 days to go, Jo Mount from Metronomy post it. And then 1 day to go, Polydor Records. Like, can you imagine the hype and hysteria at that time? Like, what is going on?
Very interesting way to go about it as well. I guess it's the modern version of, or especially modern in 2011, the way of like street advertising, just random posters and something, but you know, a bit more viral.
Yeah,
when you say no one knew what was going on, like, what is this? Also in the music industry in general, so this song was released on a on air on sale method. You know, in Girls Aloud, they'd had 6 weeks to promote a single normally before it came out. This one, because of, you know, downloads and everything, the song's released and the promo starts then. You know, it makes sense that people can buy it straight away and you won't lose momentum. But it was a real kind of wild, wild west time in the music industry. And we'll see that reflected in the chart positions in this episode. But it's really kind of the start of where we're at today.
This was a time where they were trying this out. For today, it's actually expected that when you drop a track, yeah, the first time you hear it, you'll be able to stream it, you'll be able to download it. Maybe the music video is out the same day.
Yeah, you got your 8 a.m. release on Zoe Ball and then you're streaming straight after.
Exactly. So I think, you know, we've come a long way in the industry in the last 10 years and also in terms of consumer behavior. So, but yeah, very interesting to see that when Nicola was releasing, they were still figuring shit out at this point. So, you know what? Lots of buzz with Nicola working with Diplo. That was a big fucking deal, you know. This was a time where Beyonce had Run the World Girls, which came out, I think, 2 months before. And she had sampled the Major Lazer and Diplo track Pon the Floor. Obviously, Beat of My Drum is cut from the same cloth, but thankfully, when Nicola's track came out, we were all like, okay, she actually did something with it, you know? Like, she didn't just, like, copy and paste the beat like Beyonce did. She showed more ambition and innovation. And it's very, like, that kind of, you know, on Drag Race, where they, like, get that challenge where you have to make an outfit from the materials you're given. Mm-hmm. Nicola's outfit, as in her track, and Beyonce's. We've got the top and the bottoms of the week.
I mean, David, it's interesting you say all that. Beyonce, Baby B, made it a number one on your top 10.
The album did. I don't know if I have a lot of love for Run the World Girls, I'll be honest.
It's the female straight rights, isn't it? And, you know, we'd love to have that for the Huns, but this one's a bit more gay rights.
It's a bit more interesting, yeah.
It's a bit more interesting. So this song was originally made and then was reworked by Diplo. So I'd love to hear the original version. I don't think it's ever leaked online.
So apparently, you know, he expressed interest in working with her. She was like, yeah, let's do it. And then, like, communications kind of slowed down. Understandably, if you're Diplo, you're very busy. So she felt like she couldn't chase him any more than she already did. And then suddenly one day the track came back from him and she was like so nervous. She burnt it onto a CD. Guys, this is back in the day, right? She burnt it onto a CD, drove into a field with her siblings in a car and just played it out loud. She was so nervous. She didn't want to, like, listen to it then and there. She had to, like, go somewhere and have that support. And she was like, fucking hell, it's genius.
I appreciate that. You know, it's like sometimes things is just so overwhelming now. You, like, can't even bring yourself to look at your phone. So I appreciate that.
Do you do that when I send back an edit of our episode? Like, just go to the common somewhere. Just,
oh God, yeah. Burn it on a CD, get it on a boombox. And then, yeah, me and Clapham Common are just getting an early preview of Right Back At You. So David, if you can take yourself back to 2011, what were your first memories of this song?
I thought the kind of very laissez-faire spoken word rap bits was very dead edgy.
I tell you what, David, it's edgy, it's poppy, but for the first time on Right Back At You, It's arty. I always thought it was good and good for her, but I was just like, cool. Which is funny, actually, because I look back and I'm like, you know, I actually compare, I would say a lot of what we're going to see in this era is kind of Solange adjacent, and especially that era of Solange, which we know that I'm a huge fan of. Yeah,
we're talking about true era Solange.
True era, yeah. And I think this era actually really reflects just the era before that, like the second album of Solange, you know, the Hadley Street Dreams, especially what we're going to see in like Lucky Day and stuff.
Interesting music, great music, but also visually like colourful.
So it's funny that it didn't all click in place. I think I just wasn't paying enough attention.
But in retrospect now, you're like, wow.
I love it. She performed this song for the first time on T4 on the beach, where she sung this and she also sung Rhythm is a Dancer.
Yeah, so she did that remix of Lucky Day and Rhythm is a Dancer, which ends up on the next single. I love that she gave everyone a preview of that. Can I just say, we need to bring back T4 on the beach. I never got to experience that.
It's wild that we haven't tried to, that Channel 4 has not tried to bring that back.
It just looks so amazing. Like, I remember just being in Australia and just like watching on YouTube Sophie Ellis-Bextor's set, Kelly Rowland. You know how the stage has like a long kind of circular runway? Oh my God, when they come strutting down the ramp and the wind, that sea breeze, you know, catching your hair. I was like, oh my God, I want to be a pop star and perform at T4 on the beach.
So did you know a lot of pop stars say it's actually quite hard vocally to perform because you're out there, you've got the beach, and then suddenly you feel like you can't really breathe properly because it's all open air. It's kind of not regulated air. And then the sound playback is hard to keep in time with yourself. So all our faves are doing these seamless performances. We don't know the struggle
the
they're
struggle
really going through.
The struggle was real. Real performers know.
Real performers know. So she's given us, as we've said, this really like edgy, arty bop. I think it was hard for Girls Aloud fans at the time to process this because this isn't just Girls Aloud times one.
No.
It's its own entity.
I think we were both in like different stages of our lives and maybe even expectations of our pop faves. I was very fucking ready for this. Like, I was ready for something different, something unique. And you know what? Starting with the music video for Beat of My Drum, directed by Wendy Morgan, who also did Janelle Monáe's Tightrope.
Oh, wow.
It's starting to look dead cool. And this was a time where I was loving Robin, Khalees as well. So I kind of saw Nicola as that level up, credible solo artiste.
What I love about this whole campaign, so this music video, every cover of the single, the albums, and the future videos, you'll see that they're not the highest budget, but the creativity is through the max. Not a penny is wasted. Sometimes when you've got limited budget, you have to really put your creative caps on. And everything was just gorgeous.
I love that this video was set in like a very generic looking community center hall. And it kind of gave me vibes of like an after school music program. You know, she's up there looking shy as she approaches the mic. And then she like, you know, gives you that pop superstar moment with the dance breakdown, the girls.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look at the attention of detail paid in this video. You know, like you said, it probably didn't have the biggest budget, but the fabric choice. I mean, this now makes us sound crazy, but I was obsessed with the fabrics on the wall, okay? Because I can tell somebody went out and bought sheets and sheets of like burgundy purple fabrics to drape on the walls just to give it a bit of color so it's not just like a white box. Even that bit of fabric behind her head, when you get that close-up of her singing, it's the kind of peachy skin tone fabric that goes with her skin color. I was living for these interior design moments.
Stunning. The cover of this single, she sat in the window frame, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a video of this whole shoot, and there's another shot they got. She's sitting on the other side of that window. So it's from the outside of the building, and you can see her hanging out the window. Now, David, you know what a stickler I am for health and safety.
Oh, hell no.
That gave me through the roof anxiety. That is a million times worse than Rebecca Cartwright sitting on an escalator. That is worse than Holly Valance sitting on a radiator. Nicola, get in! I don't care. The photos looked amazing and I really praised them.
She was
them
prepared
all,
to suffer for her art, but I don't think Polydor was ready for the insurance bill.
No. So, pop stars, please don't do that.
Health and safety first.
And safety first. So, the song also did have comparisons to Madonna's Give Me All Your Lovin'.
Gay Twitter was mad.
Madonna copied Nicola, which you can hear, but I think it's also just like of the time. I don't think anyone was purposefully copy. Oh, raised eyebrow over there.
So speaking of the L-O-V-E by Nicola, I have to say my favorite part of the Beat of My Drum video was, and this is like a tiny frame in the video, where it's her and her dancers. Her dancers are with these pom-poms and satin bomber jackets, giving you that cheerleader vibe. And they're like spelling out L-O-V-E. I wanted more of that. Can we get those in a postcard, please, Polydor?
Oh, yeah. Or just like the edit only of that. It's interesting, isn't it? Do you think if this had been made like 5 years later, that video would have been filmed at Bethnal Green Working Men's Club?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Very that. Yes.
I want Nicola Roberts' residency at Bethnal Green Working Men's Club. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Either that or the glory.
Beautiful. And then we got to get the We Love Pop DJs doing a club night after.
Exactly. Maybe they can have a cameo in the video. Guys, 10 years of Beat of My Drum. Let's do this video.
Let's do it. So, David, this song also had a banging B-side, Disco Blisters and a Come Down. Now, this was fabulous, relatable, and also maybe a little something for the Girls Aloud fans there. 4 a.m., I'm hailing down a cab. He said I live too far.
Why do the lights in a kebab shop make this guy look less hot? He's looking like John Prescott. I love the lyrics. I mean, at the time I had to Google what a John Prescott is.
Well, and I think, do you know what? We need to be referencing kebab shops more in pop music.
Yeah, this is real.
It's where we all end up. Everyone can, you know, it was kind of like the sombery version of On the Metro. It's kind of like its sequel in a way, even though it was later.
Also, we need to mention UK fans who pre-ordered the single got an exclusive bonus track, Porcelain Heart, which will end up on the album. Now, I remember this being a very big deal on Pop Justice at that time because, you know, we got another glimpse into what Nicola's project was sounding like.
You take Porcelain Heart is a great choice to use because that really does show you what the project is going to be like. My only friend, let's dance again, but please don't break my porcelain heart. Very refreshing, haunting, moody. And not only do we have Artie for the first time on this podcast, I've got a new one for you, David. Twinkly.
Oh, dead twinkly.
Like, you can just hear it, like, twinkle, twinkle, little star. But Artie and sexy and moody. And quite Sophie Ellis Bextor-ish.
I felt like the label probably said, look, Beat of My Drum is going to scare some of the kids, you know, a.k.a. the JB. let's put something that sounds like it could have been made the same time as The Loving Kind.
I know we've been talking about this song for a long time, but the most obviously the biggest illustrious thing of this song, which I'm surprised wasn't the first thing we spoke about, is that this song also featured in Horrid Henry the movie, which starred actual Kimberly Center Stage Walsh. Now, not everybody has that. Do you think Kimberly just showed up and like, listen, can I speak to Henry? He is a fictional character. So I've spoken to Henry and I just said, come on, can you put Nicola's song on it? It'd be really dead good for the film. It's dead cinematic. And obviously this is like top cinematic film. So at the end of 2011, Beat of My Drum was voted number 25 on MTV's 25 Best Songs of 2011. It was listed as 14 on both Billboard magazine's Best Songs of 2011 and The Guardian's. Chart-wise, this did end up at 27 in the UK, 37 in Ireland, what were you doing, guys, and 26 in Scotland.
Well, we're going to see some disappointing chart runs, unfortunately, with this episode.
You know what? We'll take a critical acclaimed darling album that lives on any day than just some fluff of the moment.
Maybe people need to be reminded, hey, this is the 10th anniversary this year for Cinderella's Eyes. Let's push for that vinyl reissue or whatever it is we want to see.
I want it on vinyl. I want it on vinyl.
Speaking of vinyl, I do have the next single. We're getting to September 2011, Lucky Day. I do have this single on vinyl, and it's a green vinyl.
Ooh, gorgeous. And shout out to Bjorn, who gifted you that, eh?
Yes, absolutely. I was going to say, yeah, thank you to Bjorn, our former flatmate. He was doing a clear out. He was just like, do you what? Yes, before he even finished, he snatched it out of his hands and like hid it in my room.
David, I think this is my favourite cover of all of them, and they're all gorgeous, but this one particularly is gorgeous in capital letters. How do our pop stars make laundrettes look so bloody glamorous? Now, for anyone, if you don't know, it's Nicola. You've got two washing machines and she's kind of laying across them. It's like yellowy is the colour palette. You know, I go to a laundrette, it's a bit depressing, really. They go and it's gorgeous.
But you know, you've got her there in these big, cheap plastic moving bags, which literally was me on moving day last year. I've got about 100 of those under my bed now. So whenever we're ready to recreate this shoot. Excuse me, sir, you need to get down from there.
If Beat of My Drum is like quite edgy and out there, is this trying to be like, we'll give you, it is still edgy and arty and blah, 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 but do you think that we're like giving the pop fans a bit more of a straight up pop number?
I think so, yeah, because this was the single that leads into the album, right? So again, you know, we're not having a long lead time. She's gotten a chance to showcase Beat of My Drum and Lucky Day, and then we're getting the album straight away, you know? It is a more kind of mainstream audience facing track, but also like, very interesting still for the kind of pop critics and pop listeners. It's co-written with and produced by Dragonette, if you remember them. Very, again, pop justice of that time. Nicola said the influence was kind of 40s music. We're hearing a bit more like 60s doo-wop influences in the ad-libs, you know, in the wow, 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 wow.
If you don't know Nicola's voice, this is like the biggest range we've got yet, because I think she vocally has more chance to show off here than Beating My Drum. True GA fans do know when you would have the live tours and Nicola would really get to show off her voice, like especially on like Whole Lot of History, she'd be like, hello, did you call me? I thought it didn't matter. Now you're gone and I know.
Gorgeous,
she'd just
JB.
Show off a little bit more. Thank you.
Because I think I've even read in interviews in the past where Nicola said that in the kind of Xenomania house, the kind of stuff that makes it through the cut are often when she sings softly, because that's her contribution to the kind of group vocal DNA. Thankfully, like I said before, we get this project and we see the range, the Heidi range. Since the album came out, and we see this on The Masked Singer, she's gotten so much better vocally as well. So it was like, boom, guys, bet you didn't know I could do this.
Bet you didn't know I could hit a note like that.
So this music video, shall we talk?
This New York-based music video, we're seeing Nicola just walk around.
East Village, New York, gay rights.
As pop fans, I like to think we all do this. We walk around and we pretend and imagine we're in our music video. Yes. And this is what this is. It's someone walking around in a music video, but have the bits where she'll touch something, but in a slightly choreographed way. And then there's passing through and someone joins in for a minute. It's kind of a, not a one shot, but it is that journey.
It's a dreamscape, yeah.
And then also, you know, another solid B-side here from Nicola with Fix Me.
Fix Me does show off more of that kind of honest, raw songwriting that we can expect from the album. How many roads did I walk down before I knew I was lost and broken? They all lead straight to you. A pretty Frankenstein that you taught how to smile. I'm coming undone, you've got. So Lucky Day was in at number 40 in UK and Scotland.
Then the following week, David, Nicola Roberts releases her debut album, Cinderella's Eyes. We're about to get into a very powerful body of work, guys. The front cover of this...
Wow, work of art. Dead arte.
Dead arte. Like, this literally could all be an exhibition at the Tate.
This artwork, I have studied this so much in detail. Like, guys, feel free to pause at this moment if you need to and pull up the image. The positioning of items, this is kind of like how I would style my vinyl and CD display on the shelf in my living room. Pops of color here and there that just kind of go together, but doesn't give you like, oh, this is the overall theme, you know?
Mm.
So clever. And what I love about this whole era is Nicola's art direction, where she brings this fairy tale narrative through to life in modern British world, right? The kitchen thing is obviously a nod to, I guess, Cinderella slaving away in the kitchen. But then that photo shoot you talked about, Joel, of her legs hanging out the window, she's got a bit of her like hair extensions hanging out. Rapunzel.
That's the nod. They literally, so they did all these photos in one day, David.
Wow.
And
busy.
Just hats off. It's like, it's the creativity that you aim for when you're doing a shoot, especially in that behind the scenes video that I was talking about. They were just going from one concept to another.
And then they've got a little Shetland pony, you know, that's a play on the Prince Charming on the white horse. And then there's that shot of her sitting on top of like an old TV with Happily Ever After on it. So many like this little nods to just fairy tale things, but, you know, done in a really like grazia shoot, high street, but fashion.
So shall we chat about some standout tracks from this album, David? And I think we should jump straight in with the title track of the album, Cinderella's Eyes.
Oh, I love that that's a standout for you, yeah.
I love it. It's possibly my favourite track on the album. Choose to learn, choose to love, choose to laugh, choose to play, choose to care, choose to ask, choose to speak, choose you. Choose to learn, choose to love, choose to laugh, choose to play, choose to care, choose to ask, choose to speak, choose you.
I think it really does deserve a moment. I have to say, prior to revisiting it, I don't really remember that much of this track. I probably gravitated to other songs more, but now, yeah, for sure.
I think it's just, it's a bop, isn't it, really? And what I like, an absolute solid title track. You know, sometimes on albums, you listen to the title track and it's more filler and it's like, you know what, it had a good title and it worked for the album.
Lyrically, it sets the tone as well, because it's fairy tale themes being woven into like real life experiences, which is what this whole album is about. You know, no more pretending there's happy endings. You got to make one. Mm. There are layers to this, Nicola. Well done.
Well done, Nicola.
Majority of the album is worked on by Nicola with Dimitri Tikhovoy, who I remember recognizing the name because he also worked on Sophie Ellis Bex's Trip the Light Fantastic. Joe Mount from Metronomy, as we said, but also The Invisible Men, who Nicola goes on to do On the Metro with.
We must say she did co-write all the original tracks on this album, so it really is a cohesive, woven body of work.
And the inspiration, I guess, she was saying was Robin and Kate Bush.
So Kate Bush is my boyfriend's Britney Spears.
Like, oh, Lord.
He's number one.
Yeah. I've seen both on the walls in your flat, yes. Duality, we love it.
So Kate, so Nicola wanted Kate Bush to produce on this album.
Oh, really?
But Kate is so off the radar that it was just very difficult to get in touch with. And you think if Nicola Roberts and Polydor can't get in touch with Kate Bush, who can?
Well, exactly. And maybe it's best that Kate Bush was just a figure that's referenced in this. It kind of,
yeah.
Because I think it would have dominated and maybe overshadowed the project a little bit.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, if you lean on inspiration and just go for it, that can be a lot better than working directly with the inspiration. So, David, another standout for me on this album is one that Nicola herself described as a bit cheeky. It's called Gladiator.
Oh, yes.
And she says, you know, it's a bit cheeky. I was really in a cheeky mood that day. That's not quite Nicola's voice. I need to work on that. Trapped in the right place, I've had enough. I've dusted off and wiped my blood on you. sounds a little bit like Gwen Stefani's What You Waiting For.
This track is bonkers and camp as fucking tits. Because you know what? Cinderella's Eyes, it is not a total commercial project, right? That's not what Nicola set out to do. The midst of all these like kind of darker, more raw lyrics, and then you get something crazy like this. It's just like a sharp shot of like vodka.
Absolutely. It is a banger, and it's probably the most poppers adjacent track we have on the album.
Don't you think that bridge where she slows down and gets a bit dramatic is very Jerry in Look At Me?
Yeah, it is.
I live for the drama.
Do you know what, Nicola? I think we should do this as a duet. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit me, isn't it? It's a bit Look At Me.
I would say another album standout for me is Say It Out Loud. I think this would have made for a fantastic fourth single.
I think those opening sounds, like, they sound so, like, 80s cinema. It sounds like Xanadu or the Supergirl movie, really, like, out there. And then, but which isn't really for the whole song. It's just those opening notes or beats. But it is such a gorgeous song, Say It Out Loud. And I could really see it as the closing credit. I could really see it being used for the closing credits of a coming of age film.
Yes. I mean, it's funny you say that because, look, in this day and age, thankfully, our pop stars are more open about talking about mental health struggles and things like that. But Nicola was doing something that maybe a lot of people weren't doing at that time, or not enough people were doing, talking about anxiety, talking about just, don't just bottle up your feelings. If you're feeling a certain way, you know, the lyrics goes, you know, all across the nation, put your hand up if you're faking, say it out loud. How many times have you heard them all saying, hush, little babe, don't overreact, keep it all in and hold it all back. You know, such honest lyrics. On top of what you said about the production, it does sound a bit Coldplay-esque in my mind. So I think radios would have lapped this up.
I wouldn't know a Coldplay song if it slapped me in the face, but I will believe you, David. Any other standouts for you, David?
Look, we must talk about Sticks and Stones.
Yes.
Not to be confused with a Cher Lloyd album title. Too young to buy my own bottle of vodka, so I beg the driver, please, I need another. How funny that I was too young for so many things, yet you thought I'd cope with being told I'm ugly. Over and over, I'd read it, believe it, said no to the shrink, I can fix me, I think. I've got friends in my head, they've got me on the mend, I am pretty in my mirror, easy to pretend. 17 and thought that I'd won the jackpot, seems I, you know, this again talks very candidly about her experiences of being bullied by public figures, by the media.
Absolutely. It's such an important song, and I'm so happy for her that she really got to put this out there. Raw. Really hope that we are in a better place now, and hopefully it's changing. But like you said, David.
But you know what, as well with Nicola, there was a different element to it with Girls Aloud, because they were one of the first big reality TV bands, weren't they? So I don't know if the public just kind of treated them a little bit differently.
Felt like they were ours.
Yeah. Oh, we made you. We voted for you.
Yeah, we voted for you in. But yeah, and the lyrics, 17 and thought that I'd won the jackpot. Seems I didn't read between the lines on this one. I can't think why I could have made you so, so angry. Your bullets, I don't feel them. Come on, fire at me.
Yeah. Through and through, we're seeing with this project that Nicola Roberts is not one to be underestimated.
No, not at all. And so that's the closing song of the album. And I think it's these last two tracks. So Sticks and Stones and the track before it, Take a Bite. I think they're really the most two personal songs on the album, I would say. And Take a Bite is another one that's dead cheeky, as Nicola would say. Just fire. So it's like the cheeky kind of confident version of Sticks and Stones. Called me a rude ginger bitch and say I bought bigger tits. They're gonna eat all their words. They're talking absolute shit.
Yes, Nicola. I think that's also like the bit of British humour in there.
Yeah, it is. It's just like cheeky, like, come on then, like, yeah, let's go for it. Like, shall we talk about the chart positions of this? Went in at 17 here in the UK, which is very respectable, I would say. 21 in Scotland and 48 in Ireland. Come on, guys, what are you doing there? The whole album does get better and better for me every listen. And I think it could still be released today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This stands the test of time, I will say.
It's a shame that we're not getting a really cool new indie pop album from Nicola and a tour like every few years. I feel like we're in the space now where everything's accessible, where there is so much content output, but also everything's a bit more accessible. And it feels like in pop music, we've found a good way of finding the right audience, yeah, and doing tours
and there's not
at different
that kind
levels
of comparison. I think enough time has passed now that if she were to come up with a project, do smaller venues or whatever it is, like just cool ways of promoting it, that it wouldn't get compared to like her other bandmates or compared to Girls Aloud success. It's more like she's in a lane of her own. I think enough time has passed where she's, you know, the public almost allows her to do that, which sounds terrible because you should always be allowed as a creative, but it's different when you're a big pop star, like a member of Girls Aloud, you know, there's that expectation. So around the album campaign, Nicola did perform at GAY, which, you know, felt like a real full circle moment. She acknowledged that GAY was the first place that Girls Aloud performed at. An incredible outfit. I remember reading this on the Mail Online and being like, what the hell? She had like full length braids all the way down, ponytail braid all the way down to her heels. And then at the back, the skirt, there was like this little pom-pom cushion stuck at the back.
Oh, wow.
That kind of looks like a little peacock tail, but just round pom-poms. I'm just like, yes, honey. Like, you know, bring your own cushion when you want to have a sit. The surfaces at GAY is very harsh, so you need to bring your own cushion.
Amazing. I wonder if she did a Girls Aloud song at GAY. That's
she
the place
didn't,
to do it.
No, so I looked at the set list. The intro was this kind of whimsical fairy tale sounding intro for Cinderella's Eyes. Then goes into Beat of My Drum. She's got two dancers coming out, pop locking. Everybody's Got to Learn Sometime, which is one of the covers on this album. She starts off as the original version, then goes into like proper drum and bass remix of it.
Amazing.
Yo-Yo, she performs, one of my favorite songs and one of hers as well to do. Porcelain Heart gets us a little sing-along here. And then finally, the Thriller Jill remix of Lucky Day, which is the rhythm, is a dancer remix.
Amazing.
Jeremy Joseph was on stage going, you know, there's Team Ginge hoodies and merch on sale. I love that Nicola did that.
Wow, I've never known anyone to sell merch at their GAY performance. Maybe that was a more of a thing back
then. Yeah, maybe.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, long before we could go, like, before you lived here and when I was still a kid, but I was always, like, seeing who was performing at GAY and stuff, like, deleting the history so no one was, like, you know, on the family computer, even though it was just a club and pop stars were performing there. They used to do, which was very clever and very savvy, if you bought the CD single and took it with you, you'd get money off or free entry sometimes.
Oh, nice.
Or cheaper entry. So you know how you do the wristbands, yep, now? They'd still do that, but also it'd be like, you know, buy your Alexandra Burke single, bring it with you. And
wow, that's a great tie-in. Yeah, very clever. That's the way to do it. And then you got to dance all night with a CD sticking in your pocket, though. I don't like that.
I know, tricky.
Yeah.
I guess if you put it in the cloakroom.
Cloak it with your jacket, yeah.
But I guess as well, they're like, just buy the single. We don't care that you got to hold on to it all night.
Yeah, that's your problem, not ours.
That's your... You have to do GAY. Even Kimberly did GAY for Centre Stage.
Wow.
And Nicola and Cheryl went, I believe.
Oh, nice. Did she do, like, the Alias remix of, like...
Yeah, I had to, I'm sure. One day I'll fly away. Leave all this to yesterday.
Rave whistles. Right, Jolie, shall we move on to the final single of this album?
Let's move on to January 2012. And it's my newest single from the album. It's called Yo-Yo.
Oh my God, Joel. This is one of my favourite songs of all time. All fucking time. Don't want to be the last to know. Oh, oh, oh. Will it be a yes or no? Oh, oh, oh. You're swinging me up. You're swinging me down.
It is fucking brilliant. Brilliant song. It was actually going to be the debut single at one point, David.
Wow, I would have been very happy with that. You know, we talked about the fairy tale theme that is feeding through the art direction of this album. Single cover for Yo-Yo, she's giving you Princess and the Pea with all the mattresses.
So clever.
Fucking clever.
So
Princess
clever.
And a Pea, but make it Vogue.
It's gritty, it's edgy, it's East London.
It's just fashion, this picture.
It's just hair. Fashion.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the thing that we haven't acknowledged once and we're forgetting about is that she is so known in the fashion world as well. Like, she's a fashion darling.
She's positioned herself as, the fashion darling, yeah.
That London grit. We want perfect pop rolled in dirt, you know?
Do you know what? It's really funny that you say that, because in research for this episode and revisiting the art and the videos and everything, I came to just really think of how subtly, as international fans, speaking for myself growing up in Australia, how we were sold what London cool was. And we're talking a time from like Kate Moss onwards, like this is what London chic is. We saw it with this project, but also like Lily Allen was a good symbol of that. Amy Winehouse, obviously. It's funny how that is packaged and sold to an audience overseas. And then now that I've lived here for about 8 years, I can just be like, compare notes with my younger self and go. So yes, we're talking about Yo-Yo. And look, this is one of those songs I wish I had written. Like, I just connect so much with the vulnerability, that kind of air of desperation and angst in the lyrics. Like, it's just, it hits me every single time. And every time I've gone to play the song, I've ended up putting it on repeat for ages.
Aww.
I still get lost and sucked into this world.
And again, another one where she really gets to show off her range.
As she said, when she went to write the middle eight for this song, she found that it was, you know, the song had a really good rhythm and really good pace, but she wanted to just really go erratic. And she referenced tattoos, all the things she said. She's like, I wanted it to be proper fucked up and crazy, hands in the air. So that's when she wrote that really manic bit in the middle of the song. I love that.
Now, look, it had a really low budget music video, but I think they executed it really well. Actually, if you look at it from a label perspective and everything, we're lucky to have got the third single and a third video. I thought it was cool. It really, the thing is, right, you go, oh, low budget, but I think it really matches the aesthetic of the album. It's East London night out. We're literally seeing her kind of in a night out, starting in the kitchen, then out. It looks like the kitchen of our first flat. It could have been filmed in there.
Oh, Lord, it was bleak, honey. It's like, but this is the other thing that makes it also read as editorial and fashion. You know, the really strong lights that they have in this tiny space that really lights it up like a photo shoot. So you get to see every surface of the kitchen, however bleak it is. But, oh my gosh, like drama was happening in this video. Plates were being thrown. Flowers were being thrown. It's like angsty.
Yeah, but she looks gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Do you know what as well? Looking at the timeline of this and when I wrote about it on my blog, the video came out in December, a few weeks before Christmas. So it actually really ties in with the kind of party season, end of the year get together vibes. And you know, there's always like an undercurrent of melancholy in these times.
Absolutely. And especially in January, like the come down of a month of indulgence. I would say this is the best. And again, we're not like, it's not comparative and whatever, but this is the best solo output of Girls Aloud. Like this, this album, like this Cinderella's Eyes is the best Girls Aloud solo album.
Oh, agree. Hard agree, yeah. We must also say the B-side, but it was on like the EP version of Yo-Yo. We've got the solo version of Memory of You, a real Girls Aloud fan favourite.
Nicola, that's giving the gays what they want.
That is giving the pop justice gays what they want. I mean, I remember frothing at the mouth when I read that. I was like, Memory of You! Memory of You! Dream, I'm falling into love again. 25 electric angels are dancing in the rain. Paradise with ice cream, sky shine, lasers in the night. When I wake, the colors fading.
It's funny that she didn't perform that at the GAY performance, like, because that feels like a good way for Nicola to go about it as well. Like, I'm not going to sing Love Machine, but I will sing a solo version of this fan favourite, Come On Gays.
Now, that would have sent the blogosphere, as we called it back then, into a tailspin.
New type.
Can I read something
while
funny?
While frothing. Please do.
I looked through my blog around the release of Beat of My Drum, and I think the opening sentence was, oh my God, Joel, I need to pull it up. Hang on.
So while you're finding it, we'll just say Yo-Yo did peak at 111 in the UK singles charts, but I think it's safe to say it's number one and triple platinum on the Love Limmy all-time chart.
Absolutely. I need to read you this line because it's so funny, or I thought it was funny anyway. We're getting there. I did used to post a lot about Nicola on my blog, so that's why we're like...
Well, she's dead blogging. She's like a blog darling.
Okay. This is from my blog entry in June 2011 when Nicola's Beat of My Drum video came out. Years from now, it'll be a common question you hear passed in pubs. Where were you when Nicola Roberts' first solo video premiered? My answer will always be a regrettable... It was 3:30 a.m. and I was ordering a Mighty Angus burger from McDonald's. There. Glad you asked.
That's fantastic. That is going on the socials when this episode is out. David Lim, that's going on main feed. That is going on the grid.
How cringe is that?
That is genius.
But also very me to this day still.
I don't think that's cringe at all. It's funny. It's true. Mine would be like, yeah, hung over in my pants watching it in my bedroom sort of thing. You know,
but because of the time difference in Australia, I clearly was on my phone having my McDonald's after a night out and just like, oh my God, I need to click.
Amazing. So do you feel, and I will talk about it more at the time, were you, especially like towards the end of Girls Aloud, I guess when they were really cool, like after the first Greatest Hits, and I know they weren't doing much at that point in Australia, but were you like tapped in with every release? Like you were invested?
I was very, very heavily invested from the Tangled Up album onwards.
What would be really cool and what I'm looking forward to us getting into is that when we do get into them, when I kind of tapped out is that when you tapped in.
Oh my gosh, it's like a relay team here.
Yeah. You've got this one, David. Let's meet up in 20 years and chat about it in depth. Well, look, so we've tied up this incredible, incredible album era. Nicola went on to be an incredible, successful songwriter. She has written for people like Little Mix, Tiffany Young of Girls' Generation, Tinashe. Plus, of course, she wrote a lot of incredible songs of Girls Aloud discography and a lot of Cheryl's solo career. And then obviously more recently, David, she won Series 1 of The Masked Singer UK and made her West End debut in City of Angels, which I saw and she was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, wow, you went to see that.
I had to go and see Nicola. And I actually got choked up, like, because she was just brilliant in it. And as someone that is... And I don't mean this in any... Like, she's an amazing singer and performer. I just didn't see a West End debut coming. Like, she played this really confident character, you know, kind of the
femme fatale,
and she was incredible, and I was just so proud of her.
Aww.
It was an ensemble piece, so it was really good for a great way to dip in, because she had a prominent, like, you know, she was a lead character, but it wasn't just her.
Yeah, Vanessa Williams was in it.
And what I loved, because Nicola, and I think we'll see some really good screen acting from Nicola in the future, she's subtle. When you take subtlety and heighten it for theatre, she brought levels and layers that we don't see in musical theatre a lot. Everything's just big and people talk in inflections and, oh my God, did you see that? And it's just exhausting. Whereas Nicola brought her subtlety, so she made it big in a way that people just can't do. You can't teach it the way that Nicola
did
it. Wow,
and that's a real gift, yeah.
And it seems like Nicola is pursuing more acting, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what that holds. Maybe eventually we'll see Kimberly and Nicola in something together, two West End queens sharing the stage. Could play sisters or best friends or something, or rivals. She's been teasing a second album for a long time. It's rumoured up and down. As you were saying, there was rumours of an EP and there were rumours of a second album off and on, even going back from 2014. And obviously she was working on Cheryl's next album with her. So there's good stuff in the pipeline. I'm hoping in the way that the music world is now, there's a platform for her to just release stuff. So let's get Nicola at XOYO, you know. Let's
vary that.
Us going to see Nicola, I would get drunk and I would cry. In a lovely way.
You and me both. When she does Yo-Yo, I'll just be in a pool of tears.
You'll turn to me. This is my favourite song.
The white wine kicks in.
Oh. Well, fabulous. David, I've absolutely loved jumping into this and I needed an excuse to really get into it. So I'm so happy that we have now. Guys, you have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. If you like what we're doing, please do leave us a lovely 5-star review and hit that subscribe button. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB and you can follow him at
Love Limmy.
Until next time, bye. Bye.